The telomere business.
Yeah, yay! I've been waiting to get the telomeres. That's Gary Noland.
Oh, shush. The telomeres, it's this business about chopping off the ends of chromosomes, which is the less than position of how you have to stop this telomere activity. I assume that obviously what we're doing is going to stop all that business. Is there anything more to know about telomeres?
Related to the snipping thing, Carolyn.
Okay.
Snipping.
Snip it in the bud. We'd say once you get what we're speaking about, you can chop off your appendages, your penises, your head, and they'll grow back perfectly, more perfectly than ever. That's why the Bible is very clear that if your hand offends you, cut it off. It says it's better to live without a hand than it is to forfeit your mortal soul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
but you can grow back, so it doesn't even matter.
Well, but they didn't emphasize that. It's like the ascension. It got three lines in the whole book, and that's what the whole damn book, Bible, is about, the ascension.
Uh-huh.
Without
uh-huh.
the ascension, you're fucked. Don't worry about it.
Right. So...
Jewish, you eat better.
Right. So, with regard to the telomere, then, it's just to know that, well, if you're transcribing your proper allotment of DNA, 144,000, this is never going to be a problem. Correct?
That's right. I mean, that's right. I mean, appropriately so.
Yeah, so I'm just not, that's it, I'm done with that topic, unless you have anything to add. Okay, nothing to add, good.
Well, no, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
There could, when you get to the next place, there's a little more there, but it's clear as mud right now.
Okay. And, shoot. There's osmium and yttrium. Am I still holding those questions?
Yes, hold those, because okay.
Fine. That's it.
No. We're going to add. No, it isn't, darling. No. You got to get to a proteum accelerator.
A proteum.
Proteum accelerator. When you do...
Get the spelling of that, girl.
P-R-O-T-I-U-M?
Yep.
And have they to do with osmium and yttrium?
They do.
Okay.
But now you have a position here. Once you come to where we're going, you can control that, and you can use those elements. That's what JW uses to make flowers bloom.
Oh.
And he does that, as you well know, already.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've seen it. To make a Christmas cactus bloom now.
I see. And is it the proteum he's using or yttrium and osmium?
You draw the yttrium and osmium.
Well,
he doesn't have to do a thing, just that intention. Because at the same time, his camellias are in full bloom as well. And it's 38 degrees outside.
I see.
Which is ridiculous. They bloom in the spring. And yet, they do. And it's very odd.
And, okay.
But you see, you want that part. Now, we haven't cleared it up, but you want that part. But that's how it applies.
So a proteum is H1 or 1H. It's a single hydrogen.
Good. Acceleration. Good. So apply that to an isotope of hydrogen and what you got, darling.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes, tachyonically speaking, the progressive definer of elemental neutrinos.
Mm.
Now, you see, I knew you weren't, you wanted that part, but you ain't got it yet, but you wanted that part. We knew that. Yeah. That was pretty sweet. It won't make you sick, but that was pretty sweet.
Okay, I'm gonna work on that.
When did this atrium and infrium stuff? I remember we talked about
atrium.
That.
Right? Atrium is when you regret and you get caught at it. When you
right, no, I'm just approximating. Just
the,
when
brother.
Did this come up? In a rewrite, Carolyn, or something? Or did you find this in a private session? Or?
I did not make a note of where that came from, although I often do. July 17th session, it looks like.
Of rewrite, Carol?
No.
Private.
Oh, okay. A private with somebody.
With you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll find it. Yttrium, we talked about it July 17th, 2011.
I remember finding
but
it.
But it must have come from somewhere.
Yeah, I remember we stumbled across it while looking up other stuff.
Stumbled, yeah. Yeah, that same fucking thing.
Non-tachyonically speaking, we stumbled over it. But actually, we just bumped into what had already happened.
Yeah. That's like ascension. You just sort of fell over it and didn't know what to do with it, and so you drug ascension home. Yeah.
This is a major session, Carolyn. Not a good
All
stuff.
All of them are with Carolyn, Bob. If you could just get out
yeah,
of the way.
Yeah, if you let me have a little time with my buddy here. Time.
Note that I have brought us into important areas during this session, as usual.
Oh,
serendipitously.
Oh, the name of
Blobby Bob of Dobby. Let more socks be sent to him.
As he ascendeth now and praise Bob.
Bob. Look at him. He can't be bothered mixing the protein powder up in water. He just takes a spoon and puts it in this bloody awful chalky powder and eats it.
That's it.
If you get it down the wrong place, you start coughing.
That's what he did.
Then he's like he's blowing snuff. But otherwise, he'd have to mix it in the sink, Carolyn, because he didn't want to wash anything, so it's probably better
That's right. I don't want to wash anything. Everything is always around washing time. Very good, washing expenditure.
Okay, now this is interesting. From that session, 383, July 17th, somehow I asked, so it must have come up before then, is yttrium important in iondom? And I looked at it, it's number 39, a transitional element, and Ion, you said, it's a good place to play. Use that as a mark of demarcation. It's where you leave from. Get some of those details. It'll be interesting.
I know how it came up. Sasha's daughter used it in her science project.
Woo!
It was like the hippie element. It was called the hippie element.
Good.
But no, better than that is, Carolyn, you remember JW was seeing the beans?
Mm-hmm.
That got
mm-hmm.
fully developed when folks were asking on payday about the poles, the plasma beams, and we said we know all about it really, literally, because he's been really engaging that with his, remember that construction thing of the seas, where you put the sea things together and then you put a current to it and it becomes this superstructure or skeletal structure that will replace all construction.
Yeah, putting the seas together, right.
And
mm-hmm.
you can have like 500-foot spans, which is impossible to do in a building, because nothing under a 500-foot span, the tension would be impossible. You know, that conversation. Well, those were those that he told you about seeing, closing his eyes because he couldn't see it. Those beams, those poles, those rods. He was trying to describe it to you. And he was being glib, but he does that. He tries to be little, so you'll be
Is this the stuff that Akito and them are seeing in the air? The beams?
No, that's in your eyes. Those are
right,
in your
what are these beam things, Carolyn?
They're seeds. Remember, Bob, look. The interlocking
beams.
Seeds. Yeah, beans made of cheese like
not
that.
Beans, like food beans.
M's.
Oh, beans. Oh, I thought you were talking about food beans. So what about these beans? How did they come up?
Oh, come on.
No, how did they come up?
That's the context of where she is right this hot second.
And right, but is that, is that in his cathedral design, his chandelier
mm-hmm.
design?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not in the cathedral, but it is in those the parts that would be able to hold such a heavy, 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 heavy chandelier in your Grand Wilaya project.
Right, it's not the design, but it's part of the something else.
It's the structure that holds the design up, because that much weight pulling down, there's not enough to tie that chandelier to in order for it to stay without pulling the roof down. Okay?
Mm.
So in J.W., if you remember the conversation, he was trying to tell you, and he couldn't say it exactly, and blah, blah, blah.
Why couldn't he say it? Not didn't have the words, or he was holding back?
He didn't know exactly how far Marilyn wanted to go, because...
But he knew all of it.
Well, no, I don't know so much about that. He just knew he could not see it with his eyes. But when he closed his eyes, he was able to clearly see it and could describe it to Carolyn. Do you remember that, Carolyn?
Mm-hmm.
But what was he seeing it for? For the hole in the chandelier or some other apparatus he was doing
it
for?
All of it, Bob. He sees things and then he applies it. And if he can't apply it, he lets it lay until he can apply it, you see. Because
mm-hmm.
this catching up process is something that he would say that this thing called ascension is his life, meaning it's the life he's living, or he might say lived. So for him, he can't tell the difference if that's a future application or an old Tesla bullshit something that he's going to use to move the world into a new position. That would, the only reason to do it was that it would please and delight him. See, there's no better reason to have any essence of creation for him than for his own selfish recusal position of for my pleasure and desire. That's a good enough reason to create for him. And if that changes the world, great. And if it doesn't, he gets the benefit either way, so it makes no difference to him.
Yeah.
And so, yttrium is involved how? I mean, sorry, is there an involvement of yttrium?
It's an element. It's what you use so that you can, so that the bonding in those, what you call plasma beams, can
mm-hmm.
be stable.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And these beans are the...
It'll be a polymer. Now, hold on, Bob, just a second. We got a little cleanup to do. You can ask. Just
wondering where the beams are.
They're laying on his white silk carpet in his living room.
These are like beams, Carolyn. You know.
Yeah, structural beams.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, for the stability. So then, I mean, there are several things we want to stabilize, so this is a stabilizer.
This is the complement. This angel diagram, Carolyn, you got the stabilizer, H197, super sugar, in the chemistry part of the angel diagram. Then the outer world, the foundation palace, this is the complement to it. This is the beam,
mm-hmm.
this is the stabilizer
mm-hmm.
in the structure of the building.
Mm-hmm.
You like that, Ian?
Same with osmium. Is osmium a stabilizer?
No, it's more of a polymer.
Mm-hmm.
Is a polymer
number 79.
A polymer is a bonding agent, or it's not a stabilizing agent, it's just a bonding, right, when you
right.
say polymer?
Good. That's good. That's right. Correct.
76, okay. 76. Okay, well, I suppose I'm good for this. I mean, this has been terrific, Bob. Thank you very much for starting early. I can go for hours at a time when we start early. But I will turn it over
beautiful.
To Bob now.
And it's beautiful because you were together.
I was together. All by myself, I was together.
But then we trust that about you already, don't we?
Yes. Thank you very much. I appreciate
right.
and.
Good.
have a wonderful time.
Think of one more point, Carol. I'm just thinking out. Deborah West said, yes, we can do it. So I just got Deborah. Did you guys include that in
yes.
your billing?
Yes,
Deborah
yes.
West? So,
yes.
Yeah, I got it.
We did, and it's okay. But we knew this. It's all good. And we want to make this easier for you, Bob, because it's very important. We don't want you to have travail at all. And so if there is travail, it's your own travail. But we're going to move everything to keep things as simple as possible continually so that you don't lose focus that this is like a worky thing. You
a burb, a burden.
Well, we wouldn't go so far as that. It's your pleasure. You think it's hysterical. You get to charge these ridiculous people ridiculous money for ridiculous services.
Yes,
you think
yeah.
it's, you think it's just too much.
It's a great call. As Buzz calls me, I'm a new age hustler.
A new age hustler. You mean all I got to do is do what I've been doing all my life and I get ice cream in exchange for it? Hell yeah, I'm on this. Karen, I get to get paid ice cream to eat ice cream to talk.
I'm a businessman. I've become
a
businessman.
Anyway, Reverend Zane was right.
About what? What was he right about?
Of your frivolity.
Yeah.
So will stabilize H197 stabilize Protium H1?
With a caveat, it certainly will.
Which caveat?
We're not telling you that yet. You will get it, but not yet. Mark the caveat, yes. We don't want to get you ahead of it because you might miss an important position.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
I'll look into it. So Protium and H197 and a little caviar and we're good.
Hey, Carol.
Caviar. Caveat, yes. Well, if that were the case, we would have said with a little beluga.
Bob, look at this. There's this little patch of rain right in front of us. Oh, my gosh. And there's none to the left and probably none to the right. But right in front of us, it's so cute.
It's just rain for us.
Uh-huh. Thank you very much.
For you.
Thank
you. Well,
you
wanted to
you.
Wash all the crap off, so you got
mm-hmm.
it.
Very cute.
Okay, so we're getting ready for Bob. The audience is listening to the intermission music.
And the sun is shining bright. Actually, I'll go out and probably see a bunch of rainbows.
The devil's whipping his wife when it rains and the sun shines.
Which culture said that?
Most of them. The enlightened ones.
The devil was whipping his wife.
Wow, beautiful.
Okay, so... Okay. All right. So here's my thoughts I got listening to Carolyn's section. As we talked about the sharing of electrons, I thought it's a symbolic metaphor or a bunch of visualizing for the way people interact, human beings. Can we do that? Or is there something about matter and what Carolyn's studying that has its own laws of interaction or patterns that is not the way people interact? Because, you know, we talk about the sharing of electrons, and this leads to that, and then there's a destabilization, then there's an imbalance, then something is brought in somewhere else. I can see that that's how people work in a crowd or in a group of in a society. They share a little bit here, but then they don't get anything, so they go over to another function, another person and with another information or something, and share with them. That interacting of electrons is a projecting of the way humans interact.
Little man, yeah.
Yeah, the models are models of the way little man interacts. And that's all knowledge is a model of little man. And little man is so little, he thinks he's talking about knowledge.
Are we on mute? No.
No.
Okay. Not necessarily. Because you're using the word knowledge as in representation of knowing.
Yeah.
Well, if you know, then we don't have to have the conversation because you know. But you're talking about a predicated thought you know knowing, which is up to conversation. Because if you know, there is no conversation. Because someone who knows isn't trying to convince you. The conversation go like, well, I can see we're not going to agree. So we'll move on.
Yeah, so the models of knowledge, of visualization and of acoustic music, The culture, the more do the people do, they're really describing the results of being in a crowd and relating to people, being concerned about people. So electrons are a model of the way society interacts.
Or lack, or fails to interact.
Yeah, yeah, not on an ascended level, but the stumbling about. And the point is, these models that describe little man, it's like McLuhan's phrase, they're extensions of little man doesn't know it applies to their situation. They think in a fragmented way that these are models of stuff they should visualize and require visualization to validate what they think they want to get to. Right?
But they don't know what they want to get to until they not visualize it, but engage it. See, that's what you call sin. You see something, it looks delightfully exciting, something to engage, and then they engage it, and then they find it ends in tears. But until they engage it to that place, they don't know that.
Yeah, until they engage to the tears, when they're in the early stage of engagement, they don't know it's going to lead to tears. That's what you just said.
Right.
So little man engaging in knowledge or in images of his social interactions will never get completed. That's why society goes on with its own momentum, people learning, research, and development.
That's why they say you have to pay attention to history or you're doomed to repeat it.
They repeat it. They repeat it because they're, first of all, they think there's history, a linear view, and that's erroneous. And that's a level of meaning McLuhan meant, that you're repeating yourself because you don't know the medium you're using, which is a metaphor. The medium is the crowd dynamics of social engagement.
If you're referring to the global village metaphor, yeah.
Yeah. So I look at, when I hear a new song, like string theory, someone lays out string theory, I watch a TV show, if I watch Wormhole with Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, those have been pretty good lately. So you can even get it, Bob.
Yeah, no, I heard, who was it, Miroslav was saying the second season is a lot more interesting than the first season. But when I'm listening to them, I see that they're describing their own social life. I always see that. You know what I mean? And that's, I see the metaphor. They think they're talking about matter out there, but they're actually talking about their interactions with others.
Well, socio-perception, but yeah.
All knowledge is part of socio-perception. You can call it sociology, you can call it physics, chemistry, socio-perception.
For the little man.
Yeah, so that's the point. That's what we mean by socio-perception. The point I'm making, that in the end, you're just describing your own perception of the crowd or society or the socio, and that's its limitation.
Based on your perception or perceived or contrived relegation.
Yeah, and the tools you bring to it. And that's really what McLuhan was saying, too. The socio-perception is another way of talking about the medium as a message effect.
It is, right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now, the snippers, the mitochondria, are you listening to this, Carol?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the mitochondria, we were told, snip. And I was wondering if the snipping was keeping the growth of the helixes to one. But I think we learned today that snipping is good because it's the completion sign, right?
It's how you know you can snip. Okay, if you want to call it pruning, see, it's like when Carolyn has such a fit when the gardeners come and prune all her shit down, and she has a fit, and she's running, screaming, wailing out.
Because
the
they're pruning it, and it's not completed yet, and they're pruning ahead of time.
No, she has the issue that they're pruning too much or inappropriately. But what they know is it makes the more they cut it back, the more it will grow and be full. See, they're just kind of like, well, I'll get it now and get it out of the way.
Okay, that sounds like it's good what they do.
They do.
Okay, so Carol has now knows that, Carol? It's useful what they do?
I know it, but I don't like it.
Well, okay, that's
your... But she likes it to look a certain way now.
But she's ignoring the fact that growth will change what you like, Carolyn. And they are always adapting to the growth and snipping.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're talking about we don't even know what you're talking about.
Mitochondria.
Well, you're talking about that snipping or pruning, as it were... Okay, makes a different conversation. And we'd say for a little man, it can be a game changer. But for ascended man, it just becomes a process that you gauge your new perception.
Okay, you saying that Carolyn's doing that? Is it from a ascended perspective? I don't know. I didn't get that.
Not yet.
Okay. Snipping.
She just likes to look a certain way all along, and she don't want them pruning too much. They know.
But she's ignoring the fact that they grow and change.
Right.
And they're dealing with that to maybe keep it approximately.
Yeah, because I just don't like it when they come and cut all the flowers back on the hibiscus, but I can see that it fills out below and doesn't make a scrawny.
So you're now starting to see that there's benefits, and you might be temporarily stained, but their view might be a long-term better. Your view will be better based on what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this snipping, does it snip at the end of one double helix is established, then you go on to grow another one? Or is the snipping at the end of the 144,000?
Oh, right.
Both.
Like the complete phase, both. So when a double helix, the problem is there's no snipping going on in fallen man's genes because they're not growing any more DNA. So they're
snipping before they have any more DNA to develop.
Because you can't stop the snipping function. That will continue. You're saying the mitochondria will continue to snip, and if they're snipping around a one double helix person or cell, that creates all kinds of problems because snipping is not being applied to what it should be do, which is snip this when it's complete, and then you make another double helix.
Well, the snipping for the little man, that's all they can do is have one double helix strand. The snipping for an ascended one is the same snipping takes place, except you have 144,000 before it snips.
Oh, I thought you said it. So you're saying it doesn't snip until the 144,000 are done?
No. If you're a little man, it snips. The information is the way it is. It snips when it has one complete double helix. It snips and makes a new cell.
That's for the little man?
Do.
And yet the little man doesn't get another cell. He only has one. Oh, another cell. Oh, it snips. For the little man, it snips once the one double helix happens. It snips it, jumps, and starts a new cell. Whereas if you're on ascension, it's going to make another double helix within the original cell.
Exactly. That's why for a little man, cancer is just almost a death sentence because it's making a cancer cell, and it doesn't complete. It snips and replicates and makes another cancer cell, and then it becomes into malignancy or benign state. Well, once that becomes into play, then they have too many cancer cells, so they choose to leave their meat sack body.
This snipping function is always going to happen. If a little man his body translates the snipping into making another cell with one more little double helix and then another cell. Is that a cancer's process?
That's how cancer becomes systemic in the body.
Right, because if you don't have cancer, the little man snips off a cell when it's made, double helix cell.
Everybody has cancer cells, Bob, but just some replicate those.
It sounds like the snipping action, that cancer is related to the snipping action when it keeps creating new cells. Whereas, what? No, it's always making new cells, which is not what's required. You have to have one cell and grow 144,000 double helixes, then snip that, then start another cell. And when you make eight of those 144,000 cells, you got your eight empires, okay? And that's really a very ascended position. After that, it's just gravy, and you keep getting more cells.
It's like B. You got it, you just don't know what you got.
You talking about B shorter? B? B-E-A? The person, B?
Yeah.
Okay. So I see, Carol, they're frustrated. The snipping goes on. And they want to not snip until the cell has 144,000 cells, double helixes. But the little man doesn't grow any more than the one double helix. So the snipping function has to come in and do its job. So it snips off. It snips. It finishes that cell and it creates a new cell. And making more cells that way sounds cancerous. Or is the cells that were always growing, 7 years, new cells, that there can be the growth of cells erroneously, each having one double strand, double helix. that can be cancerous or not cancerous.
No, Bob, it's not about cancerous. You made a big thing. We're saying it's just like your cells replicate always.
Yeah, and they can replicate by having 144,000 double helixes in each cell, or they can replicate with just one double helix in a cell.
That's correct. And if that replication is a cancer cell, then it replicates cancer.
Right. What is this cancer cell that's replicated as opposed to normal replication of one cell, one double helix cell?
Ask Carolyn. She'll tell you.
Because that implies a negative cell count, but there's nothing negative, nothing toxic. So what is it? What makes it a cancer cell different from the normal growth of cells?
Ask Carolyn.
Chromosome 14 is different.
Chromosome 14 is different?
Something in the DNA is replicated differently.
Chromosomes are part of DNA. Can you say chromosomes are part of RNA ion? They're in the same cell. They're in the same nucleus. Could you say they're part of each other?
No, they're not part of each other. They're in the same cell, but they're not part of each other.
The chromosome is more interacting with the DNA rather than the RNA.
Ask Carolyn.
Bob, you've seen it a million times. Strands of DNA make up chromosomes.
Right. Right, and the RNA is not involved with those chromosomes. Does not have chromosomes in itself.
No.
But it sends messages to the chromosome 14. Okay, so what is wrong with a cancer cell? Replication's okay. You can replicate with one double helix cell, okay, and you're just a little man. What makes this other cell become negative or considered bad? Only because society said it was bad?
You can keep saying words all day, but until you get rid of the what, you won't like the answer.
Yeah. So what do we? Am I? What factors? No. Are there factors I'm not considering and understanding, and overlaying why cancer cell is different from the normal replication of the little man situation of one double helix per cell?
Well, it can become dominant. That's the problem. If it becomes dominant.
Well, what's the it? The replication of
the cancer cell. Cancer. The type of cell that's replicating.
Yeah, it becomes dominant, and that makes it cancer, or is
no.
A particular, what is this about the cancer cell that's different from other cells? Or are there factors I'm not considering and overlaying why the cancer cell is different from other cells?
Well, yes, but you got lots of different types and styles of contrived cancers.
Yeah, but we are not finding out what is unique about a cell that becomes a problem for little man. We don't know why.
We don't care about little man, and we don't want to know why little men get cancer. They create it. They have a cell. Everybody on the planet has cancer cells. Some people die.
Oh, it's a kind of a cancer cell is just a kind of cell. It's a particular kind of cell.
That's
and
right.
yet, if you make too much of that kind of cell, then you got a problem.
Then it replicates that which likened to itself is drawn.
And that is not a problem of society. There are people who had over-replication of cancer cells before they knew of cancer, and they didn't have a problem.
And survived finally. They become a survivor.
No, they didn't even know about cancer. There are many people who had what we call cancer cells 2,000 years ago, and they didn't know they were cancer cells, and they survived the over-replication of those particular cells that we now call cancer cells.
And those people that didn't replicate at all.
Oh, it didn't happen much. Okay, so you got this replication.
That's because of frequency.
Right. Crick and Watson set up a model, a limited notion of the cell, and the frequency with their image leads to over-replication because they think there's over-replication based on their understanding.
And that over-replication is what would deny you ascension.
Yes, and is to even note replication is a problem.
Well,
Crick and Watson discovered that replication in their model was important, and they overemphasized that, and then someone could notice, oh, these cells are replicating more than the other because they made a big deal out of replication, right? And it's also they're focusing on a limited cell, one double helix cell that they think has to replicate. Did Crick and Watson ever see a cell with more than one double helix?
Nope.
They never saw it. So replication...
You know why they didn't see it?
So it hadn't happened yet.
No, they weren't looking for it.
Right, they weren't looking for it. But it was there. They could have seen it.
It was there. They could have, yes.
So what's interesting, Carol, the essential definition of DNA and how it replicates, that definition of that part of the cellular action created a disservice because you focus on that as a major factor, and then you could start saying, uh-oh, this is all replicating too much. You resonate? You like that statement, Ian? It's a way to deal with this. Now, the mitochondria are part of the replication. They're the real important thing. The snipping is the important thing. If you overlay replication onto the function of snipper of the mitochondria snipping, that's when you get problems of perception. Would you agree with that, Ian?
No.
Oh. Hmm. So the snippers are doing the snippers are part of the replication process. And they would prefer to do it with a full cell.
It's what says to replicate or continue on.
Right. It says, okay, good. All done, all good. And then, okay, let's make another double helix. And lumens.
No, make another cell.
No. The mitochondria snips after every double helix and snips 144,000 times. And then it completes the snipping. And goes and starts a new cell.
No, it doesn't snip to complete the snipping to make a snip. No.
No, don't say it that way. No, here's what I learned 10 minutes ago. The snipping is a completion of a process. The problem with the little man cell is that the snipping happens after the creation of one double helix. The snipper completes the cell. That's done. And does not create a full cell, which allows 144,000 double helixes to be made. Then the snipping happens.
That's exactly what we just said, but now you're saying it snips after every double helix.
And in the little man. In the little man. That's
then
how
only
it...
only one double helix then.
Okay, so a little man has a cell has a double helix. Then
one.
He replicates. Is the snipping involved in the creation of the next cell that's going to replicate one double helix?
That's how you stop having that cell. It's complete, and you get a new cell after that one is the snipping, Bob.
That's what I understand. You know, we do it again, which is what you're disagreeing with what I said, and what you just said is what I said as I perceive it. The snipping is going to happen. But if it snips after one double helix, and that's caused by little man's attitude, psychology, or state of frequency, it snips and goes and creates, and then is part of the next cell, or allows the next cell. Do you disagree with that?
No, we agree with it. But what you said was, in the ascended cell, after each double helix, it snips to
no,
make
I didn't
another
mean that.
Double.
It, with
well,
ascended
that's
person,
why,
no, okay,
we
no,
right
look,
up your
get,
nose.
No, get, no, I don't care.
Yeah,
you may have misheard me, Ion.
I heard you say it snips after each.
That's right, and that's when we said, "Oh, hell no!"
No, no. Well, if I didn't mean snips. Carol, I didn't mean snips as noun. I meant 144,000, then snips, a verb. But it can be heard as a noun. I had to put another word in there for you to
Look,
it's okay that happened. Let's find out what we're talking about. The chromosome,
yeah.
the snippers
we
are.
We know what we're talking about.
Yeah, we know. You don't need to go on about your case. It's a dialogue. Stop mentioning yourself in the dialogue, okay? It's two voices interacting, okay? Yeah. What?
A Bob-a-log.
No, it's an ionic log when he tries to make a big deal of it.
Now we're into the Bob portion of the program. It's a Bob-a-log.
Okay, good. But the thing is that the mitochondria prefers to snip after 144,000 double helixes are made.
Mitochondrial don't care. It just snips based on the information the RNA gives it.
The attitude is based on the RNA, and if it's a little man attitude, the mitochondria is told to snip after one double helix is made. And that is not determined. It is a physical modular, a visualization of the lower less than state.
An applier.
See,
you can say it's an applier.
Little,
the trebler makes it a one double helix.
Bob.
No, this is important. I'm getting to a point here.
Well, then listen. And you'll
let me understand what I think. I want to say it clearly because it seems to be the right point. There's a factor because the cellular model is a limited visualization of what's really going on. Okay? It's a culturally determined thing. And within that model, you have to see that something that's going on in the person is causing that snipping after one cell. A lack of RNA drops. A lack of the real sustenance. How do you respond to that, Ion?
Ascension is never beget from lack.
Right. And if you are in a lack, a less than position, like when you start putting your power in the Ark of the Covenant, your cells will automatically start snipping after one double helix. The mitochondria will start snipping.
So are you trying to find out about ascension, or are you trying to prove little man? Which are you?
No, I'm trying to find out the role of the snippers in mitochondria. And,
well, you got that, and there's no reason. You got it. You know the reason. So,
all right, the reason for mitochondria snipping is they snip at the end of a completion.
Yes.
For a little man, the completion is after one double helix, and then they snip. Yes.
And
that is
can
based.
Be, and it can be feverishly replicating of a cancer cell, too.
Well, feverishly would be snipping after one double helix, and they can make another cell, and then another cell.
A cancer cell, yes.
Right, which is a particular kind of cell.
Right.
It's like, and it's not a problem, but little man makes it culturally a problem because of the Crick and Watson model. It's like if there's too many Mexicans coming into this.
We're glad they're dead.
What?
Well, then we're glad they're dead.
Well, who would that? Who would that be?
Right.
We're glad they're dead.
Yeah.
Because like Carolyn, if all these Mexicans come into the state. This over-replication of Mexicans inside the border states, it doesn't have to be seen as a problem. But certain cultural parameters, social perception, sees it's a problem that so many Mexicans coming in. That's exactly what it is with cancer cells. If we didn't have the Crick and Watson model, we would not see the particular kind of Mexican cell, which we call a cancer cell, we wouldn't see it a problem that it was proliferating.
Oh, but you don't have any problem. Hold on. Oh, but you don't have any problem. When the Mexicans got the leaf blower, they're all right then.
Oh, that's right. No, we're talking about the difference, pros and cons of Mexicans coming in.
No,
but
we're talking about cancer. That's what we're talking about. You're using bad metaphors now, and that's okay.
You're saying the cancer cell is a leaf blower, Mexican with the
right.
leaf blower.
Well, that's right. So you get cancer cells. Everybody's got cancer cells. You start embracing the cancer cells. Then the next thing you know, you want the Mexican or the cancer to take care of this or look after that or tend to this or tend to that. And the next thing you know, you're overrun with the Mexican. And then you think, oh, I've got to get rid of all Mexicans because I've got too many Mexicans in my body, too many cancer cells in my body.
Yeah, that's an erroneous projection.
And then you even decide if those Mexicans are here legally or illegally. That's the difference between malignant and benign.
Right.
If it's benign, that means, okay, they're Mexican, they're cancer, but they're not malignant, so they're benign, so they are legal aliens.
But if you do get a growth, that's and that does cause pain, Carolyn, that's not because the person wants to create pain, or maybe it is. Like, you get a growth.
Well, contrast is contrast, because you can have neuropathy where you don't feel anything, and that some people call that painful, having no feeling. Sometimes it's very painful, Bob.
Yeah, it's painful as an idea. You're not feeling pain because you don't feel pain. But
well, that's all pain is. It is an idea.
So, so I've learned, Carolyn, is there, you could get into a real argument if you laid out with a regular doctor about seeing cancer as a negative replication or as a positive replication. It's not a big deal.
No. Doctors won't argue that with you. That doctors acknowledge that cancer is. It's up to the human genome to embrace it, not embrace it, procreate it or don't procreate it, nip it, shift it, change it. And that's why they say take an action. They'll say cut your titties off in advance because your mama had titty troubles. They'll say because your mama had titty troubles, cut your titties off. Well, and then people still get damn breast cancer without breast.
Right. Now, it's just
but you have a much less of a chance of getting it. Well, damn. See, you're setting yourself up for that whole place.
You mean, yeah, you're setting yourself up to get cancer if you think you've solved it and
if
arrived at a much less.
Cut something off to miss.
To get to the much less chance. That's still involved with cancer.
Absolutely.
But when you say there are cancer cells, are they got a biological term? Is there the plastica scleroma the cell?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean, Carolyn? It's a particular...
No.
Everybody has cancer cells.
Any cell type of body can pretty much can get cancer.
And well, that just means over-replication, Carolyn.
No,
that means over-replication.
No. No, you have RNA information that allows cancer cells to be in your meat sack body. That's why the good doctors that you don't want us to have conversation with don't like doing full body scans, because they can always find something inappropriately.
But if the RNA and the RNA is given new information by a Valerie who requires attention, so the RNA tells the cancer cells to start to replicate more than normal.
If you do this, if you replicate more, people will give you attention, and so they do, and so they do.
Right, so that's the...
And the better it works, the faster it works, then she becomes a fighter and what they call a survivor. And if it doesn't work, and people's like, you know what, you were a bitch before you got cancer, and now you're more of a bitch since you got cancer. So, bitch, why don't you take your damn cancer pills and die? And then all of a sudden, for her, then the cancer has to get worse. More and more and more and more and more and more.
I had a good point there. You erased it. You made your point and erased my urgent point. What?
Didn't take much, did it?
Well, no, I'm listening. I'm trying to pay attention, but it knocks out the other mood or idea.
Well,
so
if
what?
You got rid of money, you could have afforded it.
Yeah. So the... so the cancer, the RNA cancer. Oh yeah. So what is the what is the thing?
No what?
No what? How would we, is there a definition for what? Yeah. Is there a definition for that factor that gives the RNA information? What do you call the thing that says I want? No. Is there a name for the thing that says I want attention?
Frequency.
Ah. So we have frequency. So what was frequency in the 1, 2, 3? Frequency was
That's what they use to fight cancer is radiation, which is a specific type of a frequency.
Yeah, now where is...
Put your headphones on and get on the phone.
No. This is my session. I'm going to squeeze the lemon here.
We hear...
Yeah, you just relax about it, okay? Come on. The frequency... where did I write this? Lost it.
Bob is the chloral hydrate for non-physical, Carolyn. It's a date rape when Bob shows up.
Okay,
non-physical,
so
you just be still and take it. We'll tell you what to do next.
Right, so let's click on this. Damn, I lost the 3, 2, 1. Did I put it in? What is the 3 to the... I'm trying to figure out which, I think frequency was 3. Polarity was 2, source energy, and 1 was magnetism.
Yes.
1 was magnetism, and so 3, the beginning, is the desire, is frequency. Okay, so the 3...
Damn,
you
found it.
So a frequency, when we say that what you see is not real,
yep,
that's everything I see, including my body, but what is real is your voice, what I can't see. The voice is made up of frequency.
That's why
electrical frequency.
That's why your recovery has a great deal to do with what the oncologist says your cancer is.
Right. You mean how you interpret the good news.
It's not interpretation. If the doctor says it's maligned, if it's malignant, that's bad. If
right.
he says it's benign, that's good. Now, all of a sudden, the whole prescription, everything about it takes on a different dynamic.
Right. When you respond to the frequency of the doctor, the point is when you respond to the your frequency responds to the frequency of the doctor, which is his words about what you're doing, if that's the issue. You allow his frequency to affect you.
Right. And then people go get a second opinion, and they get a contrarian view, and they can die of cancer.
And that's total biology.
Right.
What's that? Total biology is a lot of garbage, but what's the essence of total biology that you're citing?
When a doctor gives you the diagnosis and you
respond
to that frequency of the diagnosis, then you're really in trouble.
Right.
Carolyn, all words, when Ian says it's all frequencies, all words are frequencies, everything is words, because they are electrical frequencies.
So are you. That's why it applies to you. That's why it can have. That's why words can have a conjunctive or a mortal effect on the human meat sack.
Because their frequencies
do, and so are you.
Yeah, and you could, frequency is a term you come in with modern 20th century instruments that can notice the measure, the visualization of electrical instruments that show frequency. But it doesn't matter. Words, more important, know that words do it. For modern 20th century man, they put the little meter on it and see visualize blips and call that frequencies. And they get, they mistake the frequency for the word. They separate the frequency from the word. They forget it's about words, Carolyn.
Okay, okay. Okay, we got another example.
That's McLuhan's point. All media are words. So that McLuhan actually knew what I'm just saying. This esoteric point, Ion? When he said all artifacts are words, he was reminding us of this basic truth. Do you agree? Do you agree with that, Ion? Or did he get it wrong?
We're busy hitting our head on the headboard.
As I date rape, as I plunge my phallus and die on, he's fucking bouncing off the headboard, Carol. Violent rape.
Oh, just a minute. We'll be back. Wait a second. Hey, Bob, are you close to your kitchen?
Yes. I'll grab the knife.
Go over to that thing that's not, that has no power to it, that they call a microwave oven.
Yeah.
And open it up.
Which one's the microwave oven, Carol? I'm just doing that so for the record for entertainment. Bob didn't know which apparatus was the microwave. I know this is it. It is. Okay, I'm looking at it. No, I ain't touching it. I ain't done fucking getting involved with it. You just,
it's off.
It's got books in it. I'm not opening it. I'm not touching it.
That's where I store my cookbooks.
Yeah, so what about it, Ion? No.
Open it.
No.
Yes.
End the metaphor then.
Open it, Bob.
I'm not opening it.
Okay.
I don't know how to open it, and I'm not going to get involved.
I don't know how to open it.
I don't know how to open it, Carol. Okay. I've never opened it. And I had mentioned earlier today or yesterday, Bob will not touch something. He talks about that. But anyways, why would I open it? Just go through the story. I'll visualize it. Okay,
nope.
I opened it. I opened it, Ion.
Nope, you did not.
Why do I... Hey, Carol, would you open it? I can eat popcorn while you
will
open it.
Will it work if I open it, Ion?
Yeah, it's all right with us.
Okay.
Watch.
Wow, I never knew that. Okay, it's open.
Okay. Now go over there and look inside. Don't touch it. Do not touch it.
Yeah.
Go look.
Now, look, we got lots of questions. Please, quickly. What's this? Don't distract, digress too much. I'm looking at it. What do you want me to do?
Okay. See, that's not a microwave.
Hmm. did he call this a microwave, Carol?
That is a microwave.
But it is not.
It is not. Do you know why?
Because it's not turned on.
No. Because it's plugged up, but Carolyn disconnected the power at the breaker out in the garage.
Oh, it can't go on. Well, that's my point. It's not a microwave until you turn it on.
No, it's not. No. You could turn it on.
Well, what's
right
the breaker
there?
Knowledge got to do with it,
well,
then?
Well, if you'll shut up and listen, we'll tell you. You've got buttons on that microwave. Do you see the buttons?
Yeah.
You could turn that microwave on right now, and it would even go click. It would do
you
that.
Can, Cal? You
no,
can?
It no. The fuse is off.
So he's wrong. You cannot turn it on right
it
now.
It is most absolutely turn-onable.
Mm-hmm.
Close the door and you can push buttons on it. Now, the microwave, you won't find any meaningful, beneficial. It won't microwave or nuke her cookbooks. Okay.
Why?
She has a disconnect at the source box.
Right.
But if she turned the power on and turned it on, then it would be a microwave and it would warm her books.
Okay, gotcha. What's the point now?
The point is until the connection is made fully, that thing you're looking at, you can open, you can store books.
Okay, so you got to have a connection. Is that frequency in words? That's words.
But
no, it's very interesting that Ion said all media, his big insight at the end of his life, Karen, was all media words, and he would italicize words. Was he thinking of the word knowledge, not mortar knowledge, but what you're saying, or was he just meant some mortar abstraction?
Well, right now, that's not a microwave, it's a bookshelf.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay, but yet that bookshelf could also warm your soup.
Yeah, if you turned the power on and got connected.
And then it becomes a bookshelf that is a microwave.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Your point?
Same thing.
How does that relate to this frequency understanding and McLuhan's concept of frequency modulation?
Carolyn, are we going to have to smote him? Bob,
no. You try to pay attention to the topic.
It's about frequency, Bob. You have to turn it on.
Okay. So what's that got to do with anything?
We were talking
cancer
about frequency.
Cells. We were talking about cancer cells.
And doctors.
What turns them on is words, Ion. Don't call it just frequency. Frequency is words. It's all words. Well, some people call that subset image the bandwidth frequency. Right, Ion? It's the visualization that people project in different words.
Not visualization.
No, in the same word.
No, it's not visualization. It's now. Now you're going to have the construct of how powerful is your bookshelf.
And look, I just looked up frequencies number 3, Bob. Not 1.
Oh, it's not 1.
Mm-hmm.
1 is your desire, but you speak your desire.
1 is magnetism, Bob.
2 is polarity.
Is 1 is magnetism your isness? It's your isness. So you say, I want a car. No, I desire a car. Having a car would be good. Is 1 is what you do in one position. That's using words.
The third spot, yes.
Why wouldn't it be the first spot?
Because we don't do 1, 2, 3. We do 3, 2, 1.
Oh, come on. Oh, okay, he means, so Carolyn, that is third. He means 1, Carolyn. You thought 3 meant third position. No,
well,
it's 1 position, but we
so
call it 1.
When he was
yeah, see how he tried
it?
We got fucked up there temporarily, Carolyn. Number, the first, you begin with frequency and word. You get that count?
Yeah,
in the 1 position, which we call 3.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, and magnetism is the isness you allow.
Mm-hmm.
Or something about the thing where you go to qualifying what you have. That is your relationship between isness and ourness, Ion?
You've missed the point.
I think you'd like that.
We do, but you've jumped topic again, and you accuse us of staying on topic.
I didn't talk. Well, there's always an interpretation.
Shall we have it?
Yeah, we both. You have to tolerate the other person's jumping ship.
Okay, so when we jump ship, you have to.
I will complain. This is you will complain when I do, and you've got to not be so fanatic about your complaint. I always back off of my complaints, and you don't. I don't even agree with you. You're laughing.
Poor bitch, motherfucker. Yeah,
okay.
That's what you do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay,
that's
frequency.
That's Bob. That's
okay,
Bob
go
Bob
on
does.
And on. Just go on. You don't have to go on and on about it. You said your joke. Good.
It'd be funny if it weren't so sad.
Okay, I am. When McLuhan said all media are words, and he italicized words, is he getting the insight of the ionic knowledge and the biblical knowledge that the only thing that's real is words?
No, Bob, all he understood was the effect of media ecology on the construct of creation. That's all it is, and you can go on forever, but that's all it is.
How I interpret that sentence, he was concerned about the balancing that went on between the artifacts.
Or
that's
the ramification. Ecology. Or the ramification.
We don't know what you mean by media ecology. You just throw the word out there. I don't know. I'm saying now you
so
mean
did,
by that
so
balancing.
Marshall. So did Marshall.
So did Marshall what?
Just throw the damn word out there.
That's all right.
Well,
he had a meaning. He would define it. What's your definition of... is your... Wait, how do you say it? Can you give us your definition?
Okay.
Of
media
ecology.
Media ecology is when an outside expression is portrayed in such a way that it has an effect on humans' bias.
Right, and I'm calling that, real simply, the balancing between media effects is McLuhan's concern, and that's not dealing with media as words, as frequencies. Though I can find he's not dealing with it ionically, according to that definition. Okay, you agree? You gave your definition. That is what it appears Marshall's saying, and we're saying that's not using ionic knowledge of media as words or frequencies, right?
Correct. Well,
but he did say that Harold Ensign 51, it's all about frequency modulation. It's like Joyce. He had the words right, but he didn't fully get what he was actually saying. But his words, actually, all media are words. I can take that McLuhan sentence, ignore his meaning, put my ionic meaning on it, and I've got it right. With
well,
those
but
words.
But you could also vindicate Wyndham Lewis if you did much of that, couldn't you?
Yeah, his word. You could vindicate anybody who got the words right.
Good. Well, the words right are the outcome. And that's what you're talking about even today even today, is because they got the words right, they become something to whatever it is you do with these people.
Yeah, they get attention.
And
he got the words right. That's the point. Like, I find I was scanning the all the private readings, wondering if there was what parts I would excerpt and make a little recordings of. And as I went through them, what'd you say, Asher?
Sessions.
And I was noticing the scattering of patterns in a session, the jumping from topic to topic. And I decided that any interaction with Ion is like a page of Finnegan's Wake. The way Finnegan's Wake shows, you'll have on one page of Finnegan's Wake, you'll mention Henry VIII. Then he'll mention Moses. Then he'll mention a novel by someone in 1923. Then he'll mention a musical riff. Then he'll mention the characters doing things. There'll be a collage, a mosaic of actions that do not relate to the particular time of 1938 or something. Because you've got Moses.
And all of them match a specific frequency.
Every page matches a particular frequency?
Each concept that you're saying is jumping around.
You mean each mosaic has a frequency. Each page has a frequency.
And
they
match. And they match.
They match with what? What do they match with?
Every other thing on the damn page.
So he kept a constant frequency going through the book.
That's why you love.
That's the cipher. He didn't know he was doing that, but you're saying non-physical.
Trying to straighten it out.
Trying to make the constant frequency through the whole every page, right? But you with the cipher can see that he did get a constant frequency all the way through the book. One frequency. Correct?
Do.
That's an important point. So the cipher is a way of gauging frequency interactions. Or, no, finding the one thing that's constant.
Right, the constant.
Right.
There you go. Mm.
Because very good.
When you get the constant, then you get the value or the meaning of the frequency of the words.
When you get the constant, you get the value or the frequency of the words. Okay. You mean each page, you can then judge each page in relation to that constant.
We didn't say judge anything. We'd say...
No. You gauge the frequency of each page in relation to that constant constancy that goes through.
Yeah, you have 100 things on a page. And if you look at number 1 and you say, okay, that has a frequency, and you look at number 2 and you go, well, that's very different, but it has the same frequency. Okay, number 3. That's different yet still, and it applies to this and this from a frequency standpoint. And after a little while, you lay it out, and you go, everything on this damn page is of the same frequency.
Okay, got
that. Amazing. This is amazing.
Okay, I am. And that one frequency everything on the page relates to is the same frequency, the background constant frequency, in every page.
They can link, but not all. They don't have to, but they do, but they don't have to.
Right, but there is a constant.
The cipher will still work if you have multiple instigations of frequencies that are in a progression or a potential construct for alignment.
Right.
It doesn't have to align, but if it's a step by step by step, like if you listen to, who is that, Zappity, Zippity, Zay, whatever.
I was just going to say Zappa. He looked for the big note. He was like Joyce, looking for the constant frequency underneath everything.
And so he played every note trying to find it. And that's why many don't find it melodiously.
Interesting, yeah. Because they don't find the constant frequency, which is what people respond to. And you say So Follow does deal with the constant frequencies, and may probably Vestal.
Of course, because that's why people like it or don't like it. It's kind of like you're chewing. Once you get into the cadence of it, it's not so abominable.
Irritating, right. For you, the hearer.
But until you do, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard.
For you. You're talking about your reaction.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Same way with Zappa. No difference.
It's because Zappa resisted biblical culture. That's why he didn't have a complete vision of his music, because he resisted.
It makes no difference. Biblical culture is not a service. You're slinging that like it's a service.
I mean Vestal Goodman. Because the culture, he didn't like the Christian culture, so he never got to know about Vestal.
Made no difference. He still always ran a double entendre that never got him anywhere. That's the point.
Okay. So, we... So Wyndham Lewis, all these guys got the right words, but they themselves didn't get it. And so we were talking about the frequency, polarity, magnetism. And what was the original? So words are frequency. Okay, so when we, what I would say, Carol, when Ginny or anybody goes on about frequencies, it's all vibration, it's all frequency. All you have to say is, and that is just another term for the real power of words. So you ought to say it's all words. That'll keep you on base, focusing on what is only the power, words. So when you're describing anything, cancer cells, you have to come back to the word power. And the word power or frequency is what affects the RNA. So the word power is the constancy.
And the cancer proliferation and global warming and peace on Earth and those fucking Jews and Irish and the Germans and the abomination and...
Like a page of Phineas Wake. You're doing a page of Phineas Wake with different themes. Yeah.
That's exactly right. And they all apply and don't.
Yeah, apply and don't.
Depending on how it's predicated. And the predication is how it the applier to you. Because how it applies to you is whether this Tea Party affects you or not. Now, the Tea Party can have an effect on you and you not know about them, you not believe in them.
Right, and when they're doing that, they're trebler.
That's exactly right. Very good. Now, an applier then becomes when the entire meme is changed and shifted because they passed some ridiculous law that applies to everybody who didn't even know who a tea bagger, Tea Partier were or was or is.
They applied it. One can apply it. Your own application is a factor in here. Your own application.
Embrace it or not.
Right.
They can pass a law and say it's illegal for you to breathe. And
right.
You can say, I don't care what you say, I'm going to breathe anyway. I'm going to take the consequences. Put me in jail. And in jail, I'm still going to breathe. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. Yes, I am. And it makes no difference what they say. You're finally going to breathe. And they're like, well, damn, he's still breathing and he's in jail. So I don't know. What are we going to do? Now we got to feed him while he's breathing. You see?
Okay, I remember. Okay, I got that. So what I was looking through the sessions, and a session was like a page of Phineas Wake. On the surface, many disparate perspectives. You know, the Jews in the concentration camp, Hitler, the Greece, Shakespeare, all is collaged. But you're saying that each session has a underlying frequency,
always.
A constant frequency.
Always. And that's why we know the outcomes more time, well, every time, but we're easy. Sometimes we're very specific. And if you've noticed, we're even so candid that JW now, sometimes, not every time, but sometimes JW knows how it's going to go, so he'll ask them, do they have a preference or a choice of which ion they get?
Right. He did that for the first time.
The only reason JW would do that is he knows exactly what we're going to do, and if they choose and say, oh, hell yeah, I want the rowdy ion, I want it plain, I want the down and dirty, then it becomes, they get to hear that in their recording, and they're going to go, well, wait a minute, I asked for a rough, and I got rough, but... The only time that JW would ask that is if he knows that they're going to get somewhere and wants them to say they chose.
Yeah. That he wants to illustrate in retrospect.
That frequency of aligning. And when they agree and they agree, guess what? It becomes meaningful. See?
Okay, I got that. Okay.
Angela had the best session she's had in a very long time, and most of the session was us telling her she was full of shit and shut the fuck up.
So why was it a good session?
Because she got that she had been errant all along in these constructs.
So then all the telling herself that she's been bullshit, you know, before the session, she then had Ion redo it to her. She'd been saying it to herself. I realize I've been talking bullshit. So then she heard Ion redo that thought at her. Okay. Date raper, and that's what she required.
Because
she
lined up with a frequency that she had already aligned with.
Yeah, that frequency being the perception that she had screwed up.
The same way Linda Carter.
Right, that perception and words were the, her frequency. Okay, and Linda Carter.
Now Linda Carter comes along, and you thought, Ion's going to tear this heifer up. There's not going to be anything left. And Ion all but joins her damn church.
Right, right.
And she was like, well, the only reason I'm having engagement is so I can show my daughter that I'm not crazy.
So that's why Robin said, thanks for being nice to my mom. She perceived that Ion was, quote, hypocritically pretending to join her church.
Well,
but
it validated the frequency that she was engaged, which was deliciously happy for her.
Because she never had it. She never had anybody validate herself.
Absolutely. And now all of a sudden she can actually be useful and functional in her frequency that she's engaging. And, of course, she says, I just wanted my daughter not to think I was crazy.
Right.
Or I'd lost my mind. And we said, no, tell her you're card-carrying crazy.
No, we got that. We don't need to go into details. So the point is that she got what she was hoping for.
We'll remember that.
What? When I said don't go into any more?
Details. No more details for Bob.
On that topic. Because I got many topics here. I'm canceling that. I want details on some topics, but not that topic, because I heard enough and I know the point you're making. Enough.
Well,
I know enough.
That's a frequency.
What is? My knowing?
No. Your limitation. You think you know, but you don't.
Right. No, I agree. That's a frequency, a limitation. Yes. See, that's why people go, it's all a frequency. Well, frequencies can be limiting. You know, they don't go all the way.
Well, and we know the difference, and we drag you along. It's a lot of hit the ball and drag Bob. We get that. That's okay, because you like being drugged, and we like dragging. So it's all
you mean I'm drugged by Ion. Drugged. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. We get drugged by Carolyn. We get drugged by Ion. Ion, hey, Carolyn, you should be listening to this session. It's very good. What are you doing, listening?
I can't stand it anymore.
Are you listening, Carol?
Hardly.
You know how we say Ion's a drug? Well, you get dragged along in the session.
I do.
No, you don't get dragged along. So Ion, what is the frequency?
Oh, no, it's not.
No, I can't say what. Is there a frequency that is common to every session from the constant Ion frequency?
Hell no.
Okay, good. It's your ability to adjust.
The only way it's constant is that every one of them so far are different.
That's right. So, why is there a constant frequency in Finnegan's Wake?
There's not. It's only page to page.
Oh. So each page adds up to a frequency. Okay.
No, each page is a frequency.
Right.
That's why Joyce never got it. If he got one frequency through the whole damn book, he wouldn't have the problem of dying trying to correct it.
Yeah, he didn't know.
Or make it better.
He didn't know that each page evoked a frequency. He kept thinking
he didn't know that each page was a different frequency. Come on, Bob.
Each page of Finnegan's Wake is different. And he was trying to make it...
frequency.
Yeah, and he was trying to make it all one frequency.
He was trying to make each... Well, it didn't even have to be the same, but it had to be pliable to the next. Well, the latter didn't meet the next, didn't meet the one before, didn't mean the one after. So he's kind of like...
And that was a problem for him. See, that was a problem. So
I've made a book of gibberish.
Right. He didn't know there was a harmony in it.
Well...
He could read it.
No, he couldn't.
He did. He recorded it. Now,
it made no difference. We didn't even know what he was reading was reading.
But he didn't realize what McLuhan said because he was trying to write a book, which flattens everything, flattens the power of words.
Well, that was kind of after the fact, wasn't it, Bob?
No, a book flattens words. He knew that. But he got so involved in making the correct book, he got lost in the flattening process and missed out that each page was unique frequency, which was probably the original point he was trying to make. But he got lost in trying to organize it under the book bias.
Well,
too many words for you, right?
No.
I don't know if we could ever match on these points. I say my words, you say yours, you have your meaning of the words. If I said this to a bunch of non-ions, they'd say, yeah, perfect, that makes sense. But non-ionic people. But the ionic might even get, some of them, like James, think that I'm right on. Now, Ion doesn't think I'm right on. And I'm willing to engage why that is and what's going on. But I see it's a semantic issue. So you say, well, I don't think we can get a complete point on this, is that Joyce didn't realize each page had a frequency.
We got your point. Now move on.
Yeah.
No reason to go on with it. It's nebulous. It's ridiculous. There's no reason.
No,
to
no.
Go
see,
on.
That's a limited
that's
view of it.
That's
we're co-creating ion. Now you can say that.
Oh,
I can say it. Yeah.
So when you say
No. I'll let you say it, but I will carry on. Now the thing is that James Joyce sees that frequency. Each page had a frequency, just like each session. You can see that he keeps writing HCE and ALP, trying to put that in every page to make it like it's a constant frequency. Why did he? I'm saying that the book bias made him want to look for a constant frequency on all through all the pages.
And he never did. That's why we agree.
He could. He tried to make it like that way, but he was missing. What he didn't know. Right. He didn't know that each page. Hey, Ion. Right. He didn't know that each page was. Had a pretty harmonious unity in itself, each page in itself. Now, we can go, with non-physical, we can look at the frequency and see and describe the frequency of each page. That is the magnetizer of all the different elements on each page. Magnetic.
Epler's Gib and Cobber-Lage.
Right. So, we get to the image of the cross, and you had the Ankh on it. I guess I should look Ankh, if I should look it up, is the Ankh in the cross, the Egyptian image, is more accurate because it was closer to the fall, to the ascension before the fall.
Well, but, but...
Or their frequency was. No, their frequency.
But you got the same thing with a cross on a chain around everybody's neck. It's been more replicated than the Ankh. There's more crosses around necks
right now
than there's ever been Ankhs ever thunked of.
But see, they have the... I'm looking at the Ankh. You got the cross, but the top of the cross, the vertical top,
is like
a circle.
Oink? Maybe
yeah.
an Ankh. Yeah,
Ankh, whatever you call it, just whatever you say. The cross, and you have the circle, that is more... That includes the elements on the chromosome 14. Now, the chromosome 14 has a ring. Yeah, I want to know the function of the ring on the chromosome. Is it there to indicate a completion, or
chromosome
is it there?
Chromosome 14 is the only chromosome that has rings and arms.
Yeah. So why? What do the is there a function for that circle? Is there a function for the ring?
Yeah. If you don't have the rings, you can't continue on the replication process of 144,000.
Ah. So the chromosome without the ring. Is leads
man.
To single cells, one double helix, snipped, each cell has one double helix. So if you looked at a chromosome in a chromosome 14 in a little man, he would not have a ring on it.
Oh, it has a ring, it just is not, it's not dominant. It's just like a...
Right,
that's
okay.
That's how they can tell it's a little different. Every human has it. Now, whether they use it in a sin or not, that's up to them.
Yeah,
but
and scientists don't know its role, and they don't know how to measure what's being used or not because they don't think it's important.
But clues have been wrought every time they open their lying fucking eyes.
I get that, Ion. I'm seeing the ring, then, as the gong that they don't activate. They don't know it's... But Ion comes in like a frequency and activates people's ring on their chromosome 14.
Oh, you mean like your microwave?
Yeah, it maybe plugs it in. So is the ring...
And then gives you the ability to...
Hey, Ion, yeah. No, I got that. Well, yeah. So the ring...
That's too much.
Did you just say something gave it the ability to turn it on? The ring gave us the ability?
We've said too much.
That's all right. So the ring... Stop judging where we're going. We're looking to say the correct words.
We will go T.S. Eliot.
What? Yeah. Come on. Stop
saying...
Please stop distracting. The ring.
The ring.
What was the other factor? What was the thing that... what was the factor that...
It was not...
Yeah. Let me ask Carolyn. Hey, Carolyn. We're getting some good stuff about the ring. It's a latent gong.
The Lord of the Rings, Carolyn.
You know,
the Lord of the Rings.
You know, the ring on the chromosome 14?
Mm-hmm.
It's there, but it's not activated. The gong of non-physical or RNA drops makes the ring vibrate, gets it going. What was the other factor in the chromosome 14 or something in the cell that was a catalyst?
Well, the arms.
So what do you think the arms are for, Carol? The arms are there.
You're trying to drag me into this.
No. Again, the
hobbit hole.
There was in something else we did earlier.
Hobbit into the hobbit hole. That's right. Carol.
Yeah, the hobbit hole. There was something we were talking, like I'm seeing the ring, the function of the ring. It's a latent gong. It's a latent resonating gong.
Mm-hmm.
And when something activates it, then it gets into its property because scientists look at it and just see the ring and don't know what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to activate it or to notice that it responds to frequencies. I think
you put the dipstick of chromosome 14 into it as a
into the ring
magnet.
You put itself into itself.
Yeah.
How do you turn the arms back into it into the ring?
RNA, yeah. New information.
RNA makes the cross go through the ring.
Uh huh. It creates peep, toad, sling back, do me like a dog chromosome, Bob.
Yeah, so the cross below the circle in chromosome 14, when it gets activated, RNA drops, the cross goes up inside the ring.
Mm.
Did you know that, Carol? Did we already?
I just told you.
No, did you just invent that? No, I know.
Hey, James Joyce, did you know this was on
please
page 142?
Please don't go on,
Diane. And James says, yes, I'm kind of familiar. I wrote the son of a bitch. Yes, I've been persuaded that I've been aware.
I'm saying, did you know that? Did we have that said to us 6 months ago? That
I wouldn't know.
Right, so you said it and created it right now. But that's the first time you thought of doing it. It's like the Merkaba, where the upper triangle goes down into the lower triangle, right?
Right. Okay, go away.
So the chromosome goes the cross down here goes up and slips into the ring.
Yay.
Well, that's a new image, Carol.
So
that's
it
fun. It's a date rape for sure.
Chlorohydrate. That chlorohydrate's real significant. It slips it in on you.
It starts to get all 3 and 4 and 5 D's.
Well, yeah. You put the cross, the arms. You put them up inside the circle. Then they start forming triangles and things.
Oh yeah.
Oh no. And
no, do you agree with that, Carol? Or are you just being silly? Is that what you just meant? That it starts creating triangles? You've got active arms. They're just lying there dead outside the ring. You agree with that, Carol?
Yeah, it activates and starts dynamicking it.
Inside the circle, which would be that would be the angel diagram. That's an aspect. That's where all the triangulation and rhombic stuff comes.
Like a dodecahedron, yeah.
Yeah, like a dodecahedron. All that stuff is when the arms get inside the circle. You square the circle. No, yeah. You put. We all know what I mean. I'm just saying the frequency.
Carolyn, he's got to write a formula a little bit where he cubes the whore, and then we'll be on it. Then we'll
he cubes the whore. See, the
when
people
Bob
aspect.
Cubes, when
he
Bob
sticks
cubes
in people because it is mathematics is about social crowds, right? So he can stick people in the middle of mathematical stuff. So, but this is new, Carol. We've never had the dynamics
you
of the
never
the circle. We had to get there. The circle, and then the chromosomes inside in the center.
Yeah.
In the perfect cell, it's inside.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can't tell anybody that one, eh? Is that too secret, Ian, or?
They wouldn't understand.
Good. That's a
no,
good
no, it's okay. I can't, no, I, they might understand, Carol. I don't know if they will, but it's okay to mention that in the next rewrite. That the
rewrite would be okay.
Yeah, because what you have, the angel diagram, is the ring and the cross, the arms of the cross.
Yeah, you get this, the tuning fork of chromosome 14 plunging it into the center of the magnet. So you.
Well, wait, no, there was, what's the magnet? See, you have to go
the
through.
The magnet is the center.
Taking the tuning fork of chromosome 14 and plug it into the center of the magnet. But the magnet was the RNA drops, Carol.
Okay.
I think. Yeah. Remember that? No, there are two different things here.
Okay.
The magnet.
And don't plunge.
So the RNA drops ion are the magnet that goes into the tuning fork of the chromosome 14 and shifts the arms to be inside the ring, and then all those ring 12 mathematical permutations of sine wave and cosine wave is a spinning of making new chromosomes. I mean, new double helixes, correct? So do double helixes come out of a chromosome 14 ion if you made a.
Well,
you see,
no, they come out of succotash, Bob. Nope.
Yeah, they dangle from chromosome 14. They spin out
the
of.
The essence of creation.
So, Ion, the chromosome 14 is like the Escher function ring 7.
Uh-huh.
In the angel diagram, it's parallel to the ring, to the chromosome 14. It's like the center of the cell and spins out new chromosomes with double helices.
Just like the Lord of the Rings, yes.
Right. Did Tolkien know this stuff? No, he didn't. He just had the right words, right? So the chromosome 14 is the Lord of the Rings, Carolyn.
He got a trilogy out of it. He knew something.
So which discipline did the Pythagoreans, they did not know about genetics? So they would not know about chromosome 14, or did they?
Well,
they
knew, they just didn't care. They didn't apply it.
Because they were ascended? That kind of indifference?
It wasn't necessary. It's like toenail clippers for the caveman, Bob. They could have them, they just didn't know they required them.
Well, did they require them?
They did not.
Well, why do we require it?
We have no fucking...
Because we create the meme through Crick and Watson.
We have no idea. It's not logical to us yet. So
to worry about chromosome 14?
No.
Or to think about it?
The fingernail clipper thing.
No. You're saying that the Pythagoreans, can they ascend without DNA knowledge, RNA, and chromosome 14, and the cellular...
Yeah. Maybe faster than you trying to figure the shit out that you can't figure out because you won't
So you're saying the angel diagram includes all possible mortared memes in it that people will have to understand because they've got locked inside them.
Well, or that they obsolesce and retrieve.
Yeah.
And so that they get it and don't have to know they got it to have it.
They get it, and then they don't have to know. What was that last bit? They get it.
They don't have to know they got it to have it.
No, let me think. They don't have to know they got it. They get it, and they don't have to know they got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. So
right.
That's
yeah,
good.
Right.
Good. So the ankh, the key of life, the key banal of crux and stack.
Yeah, I thought it was oink a minute ago. Come on.
Yeah, it's what doesn't matter. It's okay. So,
okay.
So the double heel, the
you got that, Carolyn, it doesn't matter. So,
but Ion, the fallen state of the ankh, it's a dead arms in relation to the ring. The Christian culture doesn't even have the ring. That's the further dissension, correct?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. It's on every damn necklace, Bob.
Oh, the necklace is the ring.
Well, duh.
Ah. Okay, very good. Okay, back to
maybe
our...
even a better conductive representation of it.
Right. Okay, so we'll put ring goes inside, ring goes inside.
Line up them cervix, Bob. Line up them cervix.
Right. Oh, the cervix. Is that... is the cervix the thing you put inside? No, you put a ring in the cervix for contraceptions, right?
Well...
Right, yeah. Comes to the ring. That ring... Inside. No. Cross inside.
Oh,
ring.
Yeah. Right.
Arms inside.
Right.
Arms
the
inside.
Is the vagina,
inside
the
ring. So the arms are like a
gerbils.
Yeah.
Gerbils inside.
So the little arms, the gerbils, and the little apparatus you stick for contraception goes into the cervix, right, Carolyn?
Yeah.
The cervix would be the round ring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That you line up.
Okay, negative pH is getting lighter.
Up,
Carolyn's thrust in GW cell. Oh, okay, the cell picture. Right, we'll bring up the cell.
Oh, damn, GW trust, Carolyn?
Okay, did I have a question about what is that trust? We'd have to get into a discussion with the words to figure out a question, but...
Well, you better circle the wagons because your time is but nigh.
For what?
JW's going to bed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're going to end soon. So
yes, we are.
Yeah, no, we're doing it. So my final issue is Arnis.
Is Arnis good? Now we'll go with that one, Bubby.
Right. What's it called? The nucleobus? What was that word for the center of the cell, Karen?
Nucleobus. Nucleobus. It makes you jump. We like it. Nucleus.
Cell nucleus. Yeah. Okay. Nucleus. Okay, now we get
like
an image.
Ask Carolyn if that's like a succubus.
Okay, Ion, the angel diagram is a picture of the cell, the perfect cell. When we look at the parts of the cell, as modern science says, he says there's organelles, There's the ribosome, there's the vesicle, endoplasmic reticulum, the Golgi apparatus, the cytoskeleton, the smooth, the mitochondria, the vacuole, the cytoplasm, the lysosome, and the centrioles.
They are
what
not
ring?
Part.
Yeah.
They are
what?
Not part, they are but whole. So you can't individually apply them. And
you mean they're all whole
them.
In themselves?
They are. And so therefore you're fixing to ask, is it apply which part of the angel diagram applies to which part of that process? And we, if you ask that, we would say none.
Okay, so you have the angel diagram, and the first six rings are the chemistry of the cell. We have DNA and RNA and chromosome 14. Is any of the parts inside a cell in this picture that are outside of the nucleus included in the diagram?
No.
Now, why wouldn't they be? Because the whole world's in themselves.
Because they're wise.
They're what?
They're wise.
W-I-S-E? Wise?
W-H-Y-S.
They're wise. They're questions?
You said why.
Okay.
And
okay.
I said because of
because
why.
They're wise. Okay. Is there a role for the parts that are not inside the nucleus in the angel diagram?
No. They're all inclusive. Or they're not.
They are worlds in themselves.
That's
they have their own diagram.
They don't like worlds in themselves.
Yeah, okay.
Make them all a single part of the whole. Just like any part of your body, okay? Is
yeah.
It part of Bob? Yes. No, that's a toenail. That's not Bob. Yes, it is. It's what Bob's made up of. No, that's just a toenail, and it's attached to Bob. And we'd say, no, it is Bob. Bob would not be complete without that.
Right.
Okay. So to define it, of which part's more important of Bob than another part? No, none is more important than another or less than.
Okay, so why is the nucleus the only reference in the angel diagram? It's important, not more important than the other parts,
how
but...
How do we say that without beating you to death?
No, I think it's important because it deals with the chromosome 14, which is the be-all and end-all. And, right, so you want to show the chromosome...
Then that must be why.
Yeah, the action of the chromosome 14 is shown in the all 14 rings of the diagram, so that 12th ring with all those numbers...
With your degrees of freedom.
Freedom.
Are
the degrees of freedom represented in the numbers in the 12th ring, all that sine and cosine stuff, is that referring to the rings of degrees of freedom?
Well, of course.
Okay, so that's part. So the degrees of freedom are the
part,
variations.
It's not part, it is it.
So how, the degrees of freedom, yeah, no, I dropped it. The degrees of freedom will apply to the nucleus.
Most absolutely.
Not to the centrioles, vacuole, cytoplasm.
Correct.
So it's the degrees of freedom. Now, how is there a? Can you give a definition of a degree of freedom?
Free range of movement, unabashed or unimpeded, within a construct or frame of reference.
Right. So that is the electronic charge. You start to get in degrees of freedom depending on the capacitance and the capacitor that we said
fine.
A while ago.
We actually like that. Good.
So the relationship between frequency.
We said it the first time, so it's no one.
No, that's good.
Like.
You said a lot of things that weren't heard. So frequency, magnetism, and polarity are aspects of capacitance.
Can we say contrivers of capacitance?
Yeah, they're factors, because those three words apply to everything. So, everything has a frequency, magnetism, polarity ratio.
I understand, but if it's that easy, then Joyce should have gotten his own damn work, if that's true.
Right.
And see, and you go, well, maybe not. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. This maybe factor, let's call it the maybe factor, is an important part of reality.
Okay. And
that's the chaos butterfly. Wouldn't that be the chaos butterfly, the maybe factor, in the sense that
yeah.
it's you, You have a frequency.
I thought it was the archaic butterfly last time.
Yeah, that's not bad. So the archaic. So when you engage your frequency with another frequency, the effects are often unforeseen and surprising.
Well, that's why they're unknown, is they're not foreseen. If you could see, you'd know. If you know, right. You wouldn't have to ask. And if you didn't have to ask, then you could apply. And if you could apply, then it would be. And if it be, then you wouldn't have to ponder, and you wouldn't have to wonder how you got fucked up from in your fucked up self that you fucked up in the first place. So, good. So goes.
Yeah, you've complained that we spent too much time on the angel diagram.
No, it's all right. If you're getting somewhere, and as long as they are, we'll carry on more. But they're going to have to ask something, because this is...
Well, that's what I was always saying. I'm always...
They're throwing back.
Relax, Carol. What'd you say?
You're throwing them out, and they're trying to kick back, so they're going to make their own imitation one.
Yeah.
They're going to make their own imitation one to see if their imitation one is as fulfilling as your valid one.
I know. That's their challenge. That won't work. But as JW said, he might put a stop to it. Are you and JW putting a stop to that meeting, or you don't care?
Oh, no, it's delicious. It's actually, they're tightening the noose, Bob. They're putting it in a place where they know they're going to prove how they can't get it. If they can't
right,
roll.
Right. So it's good. It has a useful metaphor for themselves, or a useful message.
And
okay.
We appreciate them very much, and there's nothing to say if they wouldn't straighten up and be right, that you wouldn't let them back in, and all is well. But this snoring and slurping and spitting and 27 mute buttons, they can't get it.
Right. So that comes to a head.
You're no longer going to allow them to audit the damn class. If they're going
to
participate, they're going to pay their money, and they're going to participate. They're going to do
their
homework.
That means speak.
They're going to do their homework. They're going to be responsible. They're going to engage, or they're not going to be able to audit the class like you did in college.
Right. So when Ian said to me the other day, Bob, everyone's watching, meaning watching Iondom and what we're doing. That includes all worlds, correct?
More
includes
than,
all worlds.
More than you know.
And you have said that a larger part of our audience is in the other worlds.
More than you know.
Within this world, are there lots watching? Observing.
Yes.
Not as much.
No, we didn't say that. We said yes. See, you got these people, like new people coming along, and they say, oh, we've heard all 100 episodes of Payday. Well, if they've been around that long, they've been around. And yet they're...
Well, they often claim they did spend 2 weeks crash program and did it in 2 weeks.
Well,
they
but it makes no difference, Bob. That's the point. They're engaging. Sometimes they got to get their sea legs. Sometimes they got to poke at it or see or, oh, my
but
God.
I understand that people doing that, but what are the numbers for our show now?
That.
Numbers of people. Bill can't. He doesn't know how to measure it, and he wouldn't know, and he still thinks.
Bill wouldn't know if he bit him on the ass, and no.
Now what? Okay,
so
it's that.
That's why we said 11. So you have 11.
Right, right. Why is it vast? How is it being communicated among people? Or is that the wrong word? How? I mean, what perspective?
Well, it's the same way that somebody in somebody's office all of a sudden says, holy fuck, that's Jermaine on the radio show.
Right, yeah.
He's sitting two cubicles over from me. It's the same way JW can go to an appointment and somebody come in or say something and say, hi, you're on the radio.
Yeah.
I would know that voice anywhere. Or someone would come along and they'd say, my stars, this is so familiar. I know I've heard someone who sounds just like you, JW, on Achieve Radio.
No, I understand. I got your examples, and I'm interested in how that process spread.
Frequency.
Is it because people are ascending or coming into the power?
No.
Not because of that?
No. This is great. This is why we keep singing. This is good, Bob. It's because they're sick and tired of the way things are. And so now Now, Marshall was sick of things long before, and that's what he would point out. These people who knew everything, you goofballs, you don't know shit. You don't even know who you are. You don't know who I am, and you're damn quoting me. So that's pretty silly. You get yourself into a position where they create such vast contrast for themselves that we start to make sense.
Right, right. And
we become the vacuum of being logical. Because everything that they know as logic has now been earthed as
right, and we say things they never
kismet wizardry.
Anything that's familiar doesn't work. We say stuff that's not familiar, so that's the new sense of pattern logic. You know, they're making sense, even though I don't know why, but they are. They are because we're saying things. Well, you're saying things that that seem logical, but they never heard it before, so it makes it. That's what you're meaning, right?
Well, we say little things like with Sally Mae going down, he has a problem with her student loans.
Yeah.
So then Obama gets up there and says, we're going to withdraw Sally Mae's thing, and if you've had this kind of a loan, we're going to cancel it, or we're going to let you consolidate it, or we're going to reduce it, or we're going to obsolesce it, so you won't have to feel the burden of your student loans anymore. Said it just this week.
I didn't follow it.
The fucker heard, and now it's going to obsolesce student loans, so B's off the hook.
Very good. Okay, we got that. So,
well, you got that. Well, that's how they're hearing, Bob. They're starting to see this world shift and change, and if they listen a little bit, they hear us say it, and 2 minutes later, it's on every TV show, it's on every government's lips. They start talking about parallel fucking worlds in the Congress now.
Okay, I got that. I got the inventory. The point is that things can us can get noticed real fast.
We don't, and we're trying desperately to slow that down because you're not ready.
Right. Okay. And is it just me, or is Carol not ready, or Matthew's not ready?
Carolyn's been ready since 1971.
And I'm still not ready.
And we're working. We're hoping for the best for you, Bob.
I'm at the head of those. I'm the most advanced of those not ready.
That's probably the fairest statement
you've ever made. I'm leading the 99%ers.
Yeah.
I'm the smartest.
Bob's our top 99%er.
Steve. I want James, because James always says, we got the hammer here, the greatest phenomenon. They says, we got the great musician, and then he always says, and Bob never. He never says any about me. Well, we got a category, and the leading 99% are Bob never.
That's right. That's right. Because his mom always said, if you can't say something nice, don't say nothing. Just
Yeah. Well, Bob doesn't follow that, so he stays in the 99%er.
Right.
You know, you nailed me. You called me a Moses in the first month or two of 2009, and you said, "Yeah, Bob's going to be the guy who get everybody there, but he won't be able to get there." So you put me the stigma on me.
And
you called me Moses.
And that's why we said to tell everybody to convince Bob. And if y'all can convince Bob, that means your ascension is sure.
Right, because if you convince Bob, then a lot of other 99%ers would come in.
Well, they already are. They listen to you carry on, and that's when they kind of go, Bob, that was real fun, but come on, we got it the first 99,000 times.
Well, wait a minute. I'm not. No, I am the one talking. Okay. The telomeres were not a useful function, and they're not connected to the snipping function.
They're still not, and they are not. They are a contrite way of displacing knowing. Because what they do is they convince you you don't know.
Right, and yet Gary Null and them are making a big deal out of them, and that's erroneous.
Oh, shit. Well, that's
not
consider
relevant.
The source.
What?
Consider the source.
Yeah. Now, you made a passing remark recently. Jesus' ascension relates to the RNA drops and eating manna, or eating. Did the third Jesus, who sort of screwed up, but in his own ascension,
didn't screw up, he ascended.
But he did it the hard way. He created a lot of contrast in the process. He did it in public. He did it in public. That was the issue.
He did it on the Emmaus Road.
That's the slow road. That's the slow,
good.
The long
Very
time.
Very good, Bob's quote
yeah.
scripture.
Yeah, okay, now listen.
Bob's
he,
interpreting scripture. Get
right.
the Schofield, get the Schofield. Call Christian Murdy. He's straight and going straight.
Christian Murdy?
I have
Christian
come
Murdy?
To clean up Christian Murdy's
work. Okay, so Jesus, did he eat shoe bread? What is it that. And how come he got access to it?
He knew.
He was recognized.
No, he knew.
He made it himself?
No, he knew.
He knew where to get it?
No, he knew.
He could manifest it.
He knew.
All right, he knew, and he ate? He came, he ate, he conquered?
He did.
Yeah, okay.
He came, he ate, he ascended.
Right, so he that's a good point. He came, so Jesus... When you engage with the information, phase one, he engaged with the cultural information.
We're not doing this 1, 2, 3 shit ever again. You're going to clean
yeah,
the shit
three,
up.
Yeah, 3, 2, 1. 3, he engaged three. With the information, the
Good.
Culture. 2, he ate the shoe bread.
Deuce.
And 1, he ascended. Okay.
No, 1, he applied.
Got okay with that.
Uh-uh.
He applied. Uh-huh.
He applied the new information that was presented him.
Yeah.
And he tasted it, and he found it good.
He found it good. Okay.
Specifically is in the vernacular of the words that you get. You're the only one on the planet who gets the importance of words.
Yeah.
No one else gets that, and it's sad. Okay.
Well, I think a lot of Jenny and them claim they get it even more than me.
Bullshit. They don't know.
So you mean I've gotten the importance of the Ionic wisdom about the value of words.
No,
I get that.
No, you get the words, and so by getting the words, then you try to obfuscate the words to
right.
see if they're okay. Well, we get a hold of that, and JW gets a hold of that, and won't let that go because it is very critical, very important, without the obfuscation.
Right.
Well, you've got to do the obfuscation in order for it to be real for you. Because now, when you get it to that level, no one can tell you. You clean it right back up. Now, you'll listen to them take on, but they're not going to change your mind.
Right. You're saying that I'm the only one who's really listening to Ion's words, taking the words and working with them, considering them, canceling them, testing them. I'm engaging the language of Ion. Is that what you're saying?
Well, we would hopefully say, and you hopefully would say, that you're applying them.
Right.
That's
and yet, I often see myself as I brag. I don't apply any of them, which I guess I can say because I am, and everybody else is claiming they're applying them.
But no one else would take hours and hours and hours trying to get sense of them.
Oh, and I have said that. I have suggested that. Looks like I said to people, looks like you're going to have to do 100, 200 hours to really get anywhere with Ion, you know, because
well,
you're not.
Or start asking somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So the nucleus, just to wrap up with the cell nucleus, is the essence of what we're dealing with in the angel diagram, first 6 rings. What is the environment in ring 8 to 14? It's frequency, it's the outer world, it's the outer kingdom. What would be an image? I can understand using the cell nucleus for the first 6 rings. Is it a building, the palace? That's the outer 8 to 14 rings?
Use it as polarity, and that may help you.
Did you say I said it's polarity?
No, we said use it as polarity.
It's polarity, which was... frequency, but what was polarity was... The qualifying
second
of...
Second part.
The source energy.
Yeah.
That's letting it happen. And it's some idea that something's outside of yourself, you call it source, that is going to create it. So, okay, so the 3, 2, 1 is right in that angel diagram.
So it'd be 2.
It'd be 2. And what would be the Escher part? That's neither...
That would be magnetism.
Okay, and the polarity is the inner. No, polarity was the outer. Did you say?
It's what's being magnetized and having a polar membrane.
So the inner part, the chemistry part, is the frequency. Right,
yep.
So it's 3, 2, 1, and polarity was the 1. Magnetism is the middle 2, source energy, right? And 3 of the 3, 2, 1 was frequency. So it's right in order there. 3, 2, 1. Frequency, first 6 rings. Escher is magnetism. and the outer rings are polarity, correct? That's what we just said.
That's what you did,
right.
Then, yes.
Can I talk about that in the rewrite? I mean, I don't know what to hold back or not. Is it okay?
Just let it flow. You ain't going to hurt nothing. You're not going to develop anything they're going to get. Let them ask some questions and,
right.
And if go with it. And if it goes somewhere, it will. We'll drive. We've never run you in the ditch yet. And every time, even when you fuck up, we let it go. It's no problem.
Okay, very good. Okay, I think we had a marvelous session today. I think it was
very wonderful.
Good.
Therefore, we're totally happy, deliciously incomplete.